First of all, are we in? First of all, Lauren Weintraub was so late coming onto this podcast.
I don't want to talk about it.
And she doesn't want to talk about it. I don't think she's normally late.
No, I'm like a freak about being late.
You're a freak about being late.
Like any more than 5 minutes late, that's bad.
So rude.
They used to say when I did theater, if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. If you're late, you're fired.
I always find that annoying. You know what I find annoying? I think like when you're younger, they always tell you like, if you want to make it in the music industry, like don't show up late. And that's fucking bullshit because some of the most successful people I know, they all show up late. There's nothing to that. The reality is nobody cares except here where we're paying by the minute and Lauren cost us about 30
and
minutes.
And I'm an asshole.
No, but it's okay. I think they extend our time. Did they extend the time?
Great.
They extend the time. Great. It's actually a flat rate. So there's no...
All right. Well, now that I've been roasted.
Lauren Weintraub's in the studio. There's so much to talk about.
There's a new
record coming out.
There is.
It's going to be this Friday.
It is this Friday.
By the time this comes out,
yes.
This Friday.
Yes.
Here's what I want to know.
Okay.
You just put out the trailer for this album.
Yes.
Like a couple days ago, right? Mm-hmm. And there's like this super hot guy that you're like making out with in the trailer.
Yeah.
And there was also this super hot guy in your music video for Boston.
Yeah.
Who you were also making out with.
Yeah.
So I just want to know, is it great to be Lauren Weintraub? Because do you just go around casting the hottest guys you can find to then make out with? And are you writing these scripts? How do you, every music video, you're like making out with a different hot guy?
Whoa, every it's music video.
Two.
There's been two.
How many others have you done?
That's it.
That's what I'm saying. Every music video, you're making out with another hot guy. And I'm envious. I wish I could be casting like beautiful women in music videos that I was making. That I could then be making out with. It's when I say it sounds really creepy. You're pulling it off though.
Thanks.
You're casting these hot guys in these great music videos.
Thanks.
Is that is it necessary to show these moments to get the story of the songs across?
You're asking if it's if the makeouts are necessary.
I think they might be though. I just want to know what's happening here.
Okay. So you know I used to be an actress.
I know. I was watching you perform Annie this morning.
There's
a video of it on YouTube of like little Lauren Weintraub. And at first, because it looked like a really high quality production. And at first I was like, is that Lauren? And then little baby Lauren Weintraub comes out as Annie holding this dog that is fucking giant.
Bigger than myself.
The dog is like a polar bear. Was that someone's dog? Whose dog was that?
There's like a whole company that they have stage dogs.
So I'm like, is this Lauren? This can't be Lauren. Oh. Says it's Lauren. There's no way it's Lauren.
It's Lauren.
And then you walk out. I was like, oh shit. I was like, that's fucking Lauren Weintraub.
It's
like,
Lauren.
And then you sing and you actually sound great.
Thanks.
You sound unbelievable as little baby Annie.
That's really nice.
I'm pretty nice. How old were you when you were?
I played it multiple times, but the first time I was probably 11. And then the last time I was a little too old, I was like 14.
Do you think you could do it again or have you aged out of Annie?
I could recite every line in my sleep.
But I mean, could you ever get casted again as Annie, or do you think you've aged out of it?
I think we've aged out.
That's a bummer about the character of Annie. It's such a short window. It's not like you're Alan Cummings, who can play the lead in Cabaret for 40 years.
This is true.
It's a timeless character. It's an ageless character. Your window to play Annie is like 5 years max, and then you're done.
They throw you aside. Yeah.
But hold on.
Okay.
Back to the guys you're making out with in these videos.
What I was going to say is that my favorite types of films are where no details are spared. I think it makes it more gritty, more like interesting. I like to show the like real moments, not the like unicorns and rainbows of it all. So I was like, let's get real. Let's show the things that you wouldn't normally see on camera. But it was funny because when we were doing the Boston video, we were like doing the kiss scene. I'm like freaking out. I met this guy like 2 hours ago. He's an actor. And he kisses me, and then this really like Boston dude, because we're in Boston, screams from across the street. He goes, "Like you mean it, bro?" And I was like, "Wow."
This dude was young too. How old was he?
I don't know. He's an actor though. He's in like acting school.
Oh, he's an actor.
Yeah, everyone should go check him out. He's gonna be like a famous actor.
What's his name? Do we have his name?
His name's Ryan McGovern.
Ryan McGovern, really good looking guy. Is it uncomfortable to make out with a stranger, or does everyone keep it professional?
Of course it's weird.
I don't know. It looked so natural. both videos. Yes.
No, it did not.
No, it looked great. I thought watching you make out with these two different guys in these two videos, it felt like you were just madly in love with both of them. Like,
I'm a good actress.
That's what I'm saying. So, but it feels weird. It's not that comfortable, actually.
Well, I mean, when you have a camera stuck in your face, there is a camera stuck in your
face. Do you think that the guy in the Boston video,
right?
He looked a little younger. Mm-hmm. I think he was a little younger. I don't know, but I actually do know. He was a little younger than you.
Okay.
Do you think he thought this was the best gig he's ever had?
I don't
know. Like, how far in advance to getting this gig was he like, okay, you're going to have to do this. You have to hold hands. There's going to be a makeout scene. Like, was that in the gig thing?
No,
or
no.
He just shows up and does someone say, would you be okay making out with Lauren?
Okay, let me get off the topic of making out. So I will tell you that there was no, like we weren't going to make a music video. We were just going to make a cute little visualizer of me walking down the street.
Can I tell you something about these visualizers that artists make?
Yeah.
Don't. I think they're so boring. I've never seen a visualizer that did anything for me that I thought was worth making.
I am not disagreeing with you.
I think they're all, and they all spend some amount of money on these visualizers, and they're nauseatingly boring.
Well,
I'm glad you didn't make a visualizer, yeah, is what I'm saying.
It was like, it was feeling like wimpy to make a visualizer.
Wimpy.
And I was like, if we're here anyways, let's just make a music video. So me and Mick kind of like directed this music video, Mick Bodie.
And is that the guy? I forget the guy's name already.
Mick Bodie. No, he filmed it.
He filmed it.
And
what was the actor's name again?
Ryan McGovern.
And Nick Bodie.
Mick. Like Mick
Bodie,
Jagger.
Like Mick Jagger. Great name. Mick Bodie.
But yeah, it was fun. It was like my directorial debut. And we just like, a video just kind of fell out.
Did you put a treatment together? How do you know how to do
it? No, because normally you would, but yeah, we weren't planning on making a music video, so.
So did you just wing it?
We did just wing it. It was kind of crazy, honestly. Something was very special about that day. Like, the plot just kind of came together, and
in one day, you just kind of, like, winged it.
Yes.
You're crying, too, because you're sort of, there's, like, a scene where you're crying.
Right.
Unbelievable acting.
Thanks.
I'm telling you, it was a great video.
Thanks.
And the song's great, too.
Thanks.
I saw Ashley Cook duetted it.
Ashley.
Duetted it.
I love Ashley.
Because she was in Boston.
She was in Boston. I was just in Boston.
No competition between any of these, any of you guys. I feel like you.
No, we love each other.
Ashley Cook, Spencer Crandall, Cooper Allen, all very different. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you're all kind of part of this group of Nashville artists that like blew up in the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone seems so friendly, which I wish there was like a little more drama. But I don't
you
think
wish,
there is.
I don't wish there was drama.
It would be so interesting if there was more drama.
It would, but not for us.
Not for you guys. That's true. Okay, so the new record is out Friday.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to ask you, because you're really one of the only people like you in Nashville. There aren't that many.
Zach, you're being so nice today.
Hold on. Everybody take it easy. I might go back to shitting on Lauren for showing up 35 minutes late.
Okay.
I could quickly go back there. No, but here's what I'm going to say. Because you have this like country songwriting sensibility, but you're doing this very convincing pop thing, right? Which is like, there's a lot of people in Nashville who are trying to do pop, and it's like not very convincing. It feels like they're trying a little too hard. This seems very natural on you.
Thanks.
And you've got this TikTok thing going. And I would have to imagine, or what I'm curious about, if I'm Lauren, do you feel, you have to know that you're pretty unique in this town. There aren't a lot of people like you in this town who are pop leaning as convincingly as you are.
Wow.
Is that fair to say?
That's so nice
That's
to hear.
I think that, name one other than Gail, but I don't even count Gail.
I mean, like famous people, but I don't know.
Who's a famous person even? Maybe Lennon.
Kane Brown.
No, but I think he's so rooting country.
Did you hear his new like
Grand?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there were still country songs on that.
I know.
But
I don't
you
know.
And Kane Brown are so different.
I do. I also agree that we're at a time where like it's possible for me to do that, you know? Like, and
sure,
it's accepted and people think it's cool.
But do you feel, because I can't decide, like I feel like if you're Ashley Cook, for example, like you could go and like relate or I don't know, collaborate with a lot of people that I feel like are in a similar brand to
mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
But I can't figure out if it's lonely being Lauren Weintraub or if it's like empowering because you feel like maybe you feel like you're in your own lane or maybe you don't even feel that way at all.
Oh no, I think it's a daily thing. Like on a Monday I'm like, this is great. And then on Tuesday, I'm like, what am I doing?
What's great? On Monday, you're like,
one day I'll be like, okay, like something good will happen, or like I'll just wake up feeling good and I'll be like, I got this, like we're good,
yeah,
I'm gonna freaking like do the
great
thing. And then the next day, for whatever reason.
But do you ever feel lonely
For sure.
In but like, do you think that other artists in Nashville who are maybe more traditionally country, do you think that they would feel less lonely because there are other artists following a similar path?
Yes.
And I think you're trotting down a very different path than the average person in Nashville.
Yes,
sonically,
I would agree.
With your music.
Yes. I do think it would be less lonely if the path I was going down was more paved, right? Because then more people are walking it. But like, I feel like I'm like in the middle of the woods, like sorting at chopping branches to
what
try to.
What part
like,
do you think is unpaved? Is it the sonic part, or is it the part that you're trying to be like? And I don't want to put words in your mouth because I don't know if you're trying to be fully a pop artist.
No, I'm not. I think that I love pop music and I love country music, but I fall somewhere in the middle, and I think that that's okay. And it hasn't been for a long time. It's like, you are this or you are this.
Yeah.
And I don't like being put in a box. I never
don't
have.
Put Lauren in a box.
Yeah. Don't put her in a box.
Don't put Lauren in a box.
I forgot your question.
I don't even know. I don't know. I do know what I was, but what is the path that you feel you're trotting down that is uncharted?
I do think it's a little bit of a sonic thing. And you know, like we've spent the past year trying to figure that out. And still will always be, but I think it's like thematically too, like the things I'm talking about in my music or saying or maybe not have been
said. I think so too, right?
Yeah. And just like overall, like as a brand, what I want to like put out and believe and all that. Yeah, I don't know.
Do you ever, does the person, is Boston, I have to imagine that's a true story.
Everything's a true, I call my genre nonfiction.
Nonfiction. Lauren's genre is nonfiction. It's all real. I think I know who Boston's about. It's pretty obvious, right?
I don't know.
I'm not going to say it, though, but it's pretty obvious, right?
Okay, good
Does
for
he
you.
Know who it's about? Does he know it's about him?
Probably.
Is that a power trip? Like,
no.
I think the best thing that could ever happen, I don't think I would ever break someone's heart, but if I did, the best thing that could happen is they would write a song about
me. Are you saying no one's written a song about you yet?
Actually, there's a Nelly song with a line that references
me. Oh, yeah. You told me about that.
That's actually real.
Everyone go see if you can find it.
Rocky Block put in. I forget what the song was, but it actually is like a very clear reference to me in the song. I actually forget what it is, but no. But
I don't know. It's a slippery slope. I've had people write songs about me, and it just depends.
In what setting? Like ex-boyfriend
of
type
course.
People
yeah,
have
yeah.
written songs about you.
Yeah.
And I would be so flattered to be in a song.
It depends if it's a nice song.
Oh, and if people even know that it's you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I, for a long time, like, didn't want to put out songs because I was scared that that person would hear it or people who would know who it was about. But I kind of just got to a point where I was like, I'm just, screw it.
Do you ever get nervous putting out songs that are so real? Like, any of the past 5 songs that you've put out recently, have any of them made you...
No.
You've never had second thoughts about maybe this is too honest or this is too real?
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course. Like, even while writing it, you know, like, I think if you're not feeling that fear, you're not, it's not vulnerable
it's
enough.
Not, and then does someone push you to say, like, who gives a crap that you're shitting on your ex-boyfriend? This is a great song and gonna make us a lot of money. Like, is that what, like, who, or do you just go, like, do you, is it nerve-wracking in the writing session?
Yes.
But once you have the song
yes.
out, then is it not that scary to put it out? Like, how does it work?
I think I struggle more with being vulnerable during creation. And then once it's created, it's kind of like, I got over the hard part. Because for
done.
Me, being vulnerable is the hard part. That's why I make music. Because it's easier for me to talk about my feelings in song form than it is out loud. So once it's done, it's like, all right, well, it's done. I'm just going to put it out.
Does Daniel Ross or like any of the people that you frequently write with, will they call you out and say like, I don't think you're being honest enough or I don't think you're being vulnerable enough in this lyric? Or like, will they push you to be more honest or are you too honest? Like, is it, even though it might be hard, is it actually kind of easy to be honest? Maybe writing the song is hard, but maybe speaking honestly is easy. But I don't know. Like how does it work when you're actually writing these songs?
I think it's easy to be honest with people you write with a lot. Like, if I have a first writing session with someone, unless we, like, vibe immediately, I'm, like, kind of like an onion. Like, you gotta peel the layers, you know?
Can someone do that, like, in a first writing session with you, can someone get to your core and make you feel totally comfortable?
Yes, but they also can make me feel like I don't want
like
to
the
tell
worst.
Them anything.
What, is there something that they do to make you feel comfortable?
Yes.
Like, what does someone do in a writing session with you to make you feel totally comfortable?
That's such a good question. They ask so many questions.
They ask a lot of questions.
Yes.
And why does that make you feel comfortable?
Because it it makes me feel like I can just tell them all the tea. Like, they're asking, so I might as well. I'm not someone... It's funny. Like, a lot of artists, I feel like, maybe come into a room and just spill all their tea. I'm, like, not like that. Like, you gotta, like, pry it out of me.
Do you feel like... And I mean this seriously, because most people who write with you are gonna be writing with you as you being the artist in mind. Like, most writes you have are writing with you, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So does that mean... And I mean this really, like genuinely, like I understand this dynamic. Does that mean that's kind of the responsibility of the writer to understand you versus for you to understand them?
No, I think it's on both.
It's on both people.
Yeah, because someone could like be asking me all the questions in the world about myself, but if I'm in a mood that day where I don't want to be vulnerable, it's not going to happen.
So then you're going to, will you start asking them questions about themselves?
Yeah, actually, I think you'll use that as
you'll
like
flip
a
the script
deflection.
As like a deflection thing.
I definitely
thing.
Do that, yeah.
You'll start asking them questions.
Yeah, yeah.
And that will make you more comfortable in a write.
Yeah.
Because then there's a good rapport.
Totally.
And then you're not holding anything back.
Totally. I think it's like it's a good symbiosis. It's got to be like on both people.
But when you're writing with someone like Daniel, who you know really well, mm-hmm. then you're totally comfortable.
Oh, yeah. He knows everything that's going on in my life. So it's like.
He knows everything.
I walk in the door and he's like, what'd you do last night? Like, he just like knows everything.
And you can just. So that's got to be like, why would you ever write with anyone else?
I don't know. I was having this conversation with Brandi Clark a while ago, and she was telling me that when Kacey Musgraves was coming up, like her and Shane McNally and a few other people decided that they should just start only writing together for Kacey because they just knew the world that she wanted to be in so well. And it was like, why would we pull in other
why
people?
Why would we ever?
Why mess up a good thing?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think there is something to that, and I kind of want to spend a good part of next year like spending weeks with people and like actually just like honing in. And I'm like, it's hard for me when I get to a studio at 11 a.m. and you got to be out by 3. Like, I don't like to rush my...
Isn't that a bummer? Like, why is that a case
me
that happens?
Me doing that today to come here.
Do you think that's realistic, though, to really... Because I actually think that's like...
No.
That makes so much sense. But how could you pull that off?
I don't
know.
I think as an artist, it's hard because some songs are written in 25 minutes and some songs are written in 2 months. Like, you just don't know. So it feels like a pressure thing. It feels more laid back when you have like the whole day or whatever and you don't know what's going to happen.
Are pretty much all your songs written in one day or do you ever go back and revisit them?
No. She's Mine was written in like 3 days.
Oh, I think I knew that actually.
Over the span of like months.
And you guys almost didn't even finish it.
Yeah. We were like, is this crap? Like.
But who puts it, who says that it's great and we should keep finishing this?
Me. I was like, no, it's great. It's good.
How'd you know, though? You just knew.
I just knew. Daniel came in with that hook, and we wrote the chorus. That was all we had, I'm pretty sure. And then we came back to write verses, and we listened to the chorus. It had been, like, 2 months. And Daniel was like, this is good, right? Like, this is good? And I was like, yes, it's so good. And it just makes me laugh that, like, as creatives, we can create something that becomes a massive smash, but, like, have no idea in the moment.
How often do you write a song and you go, is this good? And you go, yes, this is good. Or Daniel goes, this is good. And then it sucks and nobody ever hears it.
Literally all the time.
All the time. So the fact that this one actually ended up being good was just sheer luck. Total coincidence.
No, it's funny. I feel like anytime I'm in the room and I'm like, this is a smash, it's not.
It never is.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to ask you because you brought up Brandi Clark.
Okay.
And you signed your publishing deal when you were in college mm-hmm. and you dropped out and everybody knows this and it's like iconic. At this point, it's the story of legends. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. You and like, who else signed publishing deals in your class? It's like you, Emily Falvey.
Mm-hmm. Emily, yeah.
Is there anyone else that signed deals like while they were still in school?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't know off the top of my head.
No one relevant. So.
Oh my God. Wow. Zach is like, chose
others.
Violence today.
Maybe some others. I'm sure there are some other relevant people.
There's a girl
named
Mia Mantia. She just signed a deal.
Well, people later, but while you were still in school.
Oh, it's not coming to my mind, but I'm sure there's a couple.
Sure there are. Okay, so here's what I'm trying to understand about how you signed this.
You're trying to make
deal.
A point. I'm listening.
No, I have no point to make, actually. there's no point I'm trying to make. I'm trying to understand something that I think blows my mind.
Okay.
So you have this meeting with Big Machine. Mm-hmm. I've never asked you this. You have this meeting with Big Machine.
Uh-huh.
And on the spot, they offer you a deal.
Yeah.
Which I think is crazy because they easily could have waited. And they could have thought it through. I don't know. It just seems crazy to me that
because it is.
So you literally went in for what, like a first meeting?
Yes, on like a Tuesday afternoon or some crap, and I sat down and played like three songs, for Alex Huddle.
What three?
At the time, I had this song called "The Earth Is Flat." Which
yeah,
was like,
I actually know that song. The point of that song is it's basically saying all these things that, like, if the earth is flat, wasn't the hook like, I'll come back to you or something?
Right, it's like, tell me you love me, and yeah, the earth is flat.
And yeah, the earth is flat. Yeah. I remember that was a song where, and you might not know this, but I'm going to tell you, that was a song that people used to say, Lauren Weintraub is amazing. Have you heard her song, The Earth Is Flat? Like, that song, people were absolutely dying over. Yeah. So you played them that song.
I played them that. I played them a song called First Day in Heaven, which is really sad. And then a song called Careful Now, which is like one of the first songs I ever wrote on my bedroom floor in high school.
Yeah.
And Alex was like, he's going to be mad that I tell the story, but he was like on his phone. And I was like, oh my God, like he hates me. Like he's texting like his girlfriend or something, or he's texting his friend while I'm like sitting here with my guitar. But he was texting Mike to be like, come in the room. There's this girl in here and she's like so good. But I thought he was ignoring me, but he wasn't. And then Mike came in and they were like, yeah, it was like out of a movie. Like they were like, so, you want a publishing deal, kid? And I was like, what is happening?
I just don't understand this though, because when Mike comes in, this is Mike Molinar from Big Machine Music. He comes in and do you then play the same three songs again?
No, I had played three songs and then I played a fourth. I played one. I played Careful Now.
And he was just trusting.
He was trusting Alex.
Alex.
Yeah.
That who had good ears.
Yeah.
That you were, and he offered you the deal on the spot.
Pretty much they were like, we've been trying to do this thing with Brandi Clark and you're the perfect fit. Like, do you want to meet her tomorrow morning? And I had publishing class the next morning. So I like took this quiz in 5 minutes and I was like, went to my teacher and I was like, hi, I need to go meet Brandi Clark. And he was like, yeah, you should probably do that.
That's unbelievable that he didn't say
it was publishing class.
It was literally the publishing class.
Yeah.
So you left.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, how much like a freaking badass, rightfully so, did you feel handing in your test, going and looking at all the other people in the class who weren't about to meet Brandi Clark? And now you're on your way to meet Brandi Clark.
I don't know. I was more like nervous, but looking back, I guess that is that's like a badass move.
I remember sitting in my music business class in college when I got an email that I had landed this really big internship.
How'd you feel?
So superior to everyone else in that classroom. I felt unbelievable. It was the best feeling in the world. I literally walked out of the classroom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's like a movie moment.
It really was. So you meet with Brandi Clark.
Mm-hmm. At like 9 a.m.
And actually, even though it seems like on the spot they offered you this publishing deal, really, it was probably contingent on you and Brandi Clark
vibing. Yeah.
So it wasn't really set in stone.
No.
So they said, where do you meet with Brandi?
At the office.
At the Big Machine office. Mm-hmm. With Mike and Alex?
No, it was just me and Brandi.
And
Brandy's like my hero.
Is she?
Yeah. Love Can Go to Hell, I heard in high school. That's like one of the songs. One of the reasons I write songs. So I'm sitting across from Brandi Clark, and like less than 24 hours ago, I didn't even know Alex less than 24 hours.
How'd you get the meeting?
A lot of people had like thrown his name at me, and it had actually happened three times. So that's how you know it was the universe. Like
People threw his name at you
like
three times?
Yeah, someone at ASCAP had connected us, and then someone else did. And I think finally he was like,
all right,
who the heck is this chick?
With Lauren.
Yeah.
So. So you meet with, so that's you get the meaning.
Yes.
So, and Love Can Go to Hell.
By Brandi Clark. Yeah.
Unbelievable song.
Great song.
I was actually listening to that record this morning. Is that off 12 Stories or is that
No, it's off of the yellow one.
The yellow one with Big Day in a Small Town. God, that song is incredible.
It's incredible.
So you're going in, you're like, this is my songwriting
hero.
And is it like, she's pretty chill, right? I've actually never met her.
Oh my God, the chillest person ever and so funny.
Is she still part of your deal? Like, are you still in touch with her?
Yeah, I could call her anytime I want and she's always there to like give me advice. She's like my fairy godmother.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Is there a song that we could be putting out that you write? Like, how often do you write with her?
She's on the road a lot recently, but when the deal started, we would write together like every month or so, and there are some songs I've written with her that I love.
That might come out?
Yeah.
So she says, so do you bond instantly? Do you play her a couple songs?
I mean, yeah, I think I played her a couple songs. She went to Belmont, so we were talking about Belmont. And yeah, we just bonded. We like hit it off.
And on the spot, what really happens? On the spot, does she say, I'm signing you?
No, I think like they were going to go converse, but it was like there was this air of, we just want you to be here. And at the time I had a bunch of other offers. But you know, Brandi Clark is my hero. And also Big Machine's one of the coolest publishing companies in Nashville.
Did you get other offers because of that deal came in and then you leveraged it for other offers, or just coincidentally?
I probably should have, but funny enough.
Oh my God, that would have been brilliant.
I had like a bunch of offers before that. And then that was like the last offer. And I was like, I gotta do this.
Yeah. Wow.
But I probably should have done that, yeah.
Here's the thing that is crazy to me, though, which I think speaks so highly of Lauren, is, here's what I'm going to say. I think it's hard to offer a Belmont student a deal on the spot, even if they're incredibly talented.
Oh, my God.
Because you don't know how dedicated they're going to be to this.
Dude, they knew nothing about me.
They didn't even know you, and they were basically getting engaged to you. Like, they were committing to a lifelong, not a lifelong, but a long relationship.
They're putting a lot of trust in me.
They didn't even know if you were, like it's easy to show up to Nashville and, like, write some songs, but they didn't know if you were in this for the long haul. But I think they might have just, like, they might have just felt that, or they might have just seen that.
I think so. I mean, I guess so. I guess they just got a vibe, but it is kind of crazy to me that it all happened so quickly. And also, it always makes me laugh that publishers sign writers every day without knowing.
They're not in
the room, you know? Like, these publishers sign these writers, but they're never in the room.
They never know.
You could be an asshole to the people.
Does it matter, though, if you get great songs?
I mean, I don't know. That's a discussion for another time.
I think the only thing that matters is what happens when you go into the room. You can be an asshole and blow everything up. You shouldn't be, but you could be. And if you get masterworks from it, fine by me.
Maybe you're right.
I just won't work or associate with you, but...
But that's okay.
But I'll listen to your music, and that'll be fine. Unless you're Kanye West, then I'm done with you.
Right, yes.
Okay, and then is it a relief when you graduate college? Or you didn't even graduate, dropped out.
Well, that was the other thing. They signed me without knowing if I was going to drop out or not. And we had a dinner with my parents, and it was very formal.
Was that... Wait, who... You had a dinner with Big Machine.
And my parents.
And your parents.
Yeah, talking about, like, school.
Is that dinner kind of awkward, or is it kind of
great? I think they were sweating. They were like...
Your parents were sweating?
No. The Big Machine people.
Why? Because your parents are asking a lot of questions?
Yeah, and, like, my dad's pretty intense, and, like, the topic at hand was me getting signed and dropping out of school.
I like that the Weintraubs were making Big Machine sweat.
And I'm 19,
I like
you know, and, like, my dad was the first one in his family to go to college, so, like, college, I mean, is overall, but especially in my family, seen as, like, a privilege, which it is.
And are you like, Dad, stop asking the questions. I'm going to drop out and sign with Big Machine. Like, why are you making this difficult?
No, I was, like, letting him have his moment.
You were letting him have... I imagine you'd already made up your mind.
Yeah.
There's this dinner with Big Machine, mm-hmm. and the Big Machine's basically saying, like, look, she should drop out of college and come right...
I mean,
what were they saying?
She should drop out of college, but they were like, if she wants to, that's probably a good thing.
They were really put, and this was when the deal was inked, or the deal
hadn't
been inked?
No, it hadn't been inked, but I knew I was going to leave because I'm very much a put all my energy into one thing person.
Oh,
so I wasn't going to half-ass my first publishing deal.
No way.
Wasn't going to happen. So if I go back one day, I'll go back, but I'll go back for like...
Does that bother you, or do you even care that you, like...
I don't care right now.
But do you feel like you might care one day, or
maybe
you might feel unfinished?
I don't know. And if I do, I'll go back and study like philosophy or something.
Or you just become super famous, which we're already on the path.
And then you're Taylor Swift and you get an honorary
doctorate. That shit, and you're in. You're so good.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
But it's got to be a relief, because now I feel like artists, when people move to town or they come to town, the first thing that everyone tries to hustle for is like the publishing deal.
Yeah.
And then once you have it, I feel like it's a relief.
For sure. I mean, but that's really when the work starts. I think you feel relieved for like 2 seconds, and then you're like, all right, this is where the real work begins.
Do you really feel that way in like an overwhelming sense? Or is it just kind of like now I feel like now it's easy to show up when people know where you're going to be every day, which mm-hmm. doesn't mean it's easy to show up and write hit songs, or mm-hmm. it doesn't mean it's hard work. But I almost think a publisher takes over your calendar, starts setting up your rights.
Right.
And then I feel like that, like that's probably when it starts to get really fun. But does it feel stressful? Because now you feel like they took a shot on me.
Right. And you want to prove yourself.
And you got to prove yourself.
For the first year, I was having a lot of like imposter syndrome, if you will. Like
really?
I was like, yeah, I was writing with my heroes. I was like sitting on Nathan Chapman's couch 2 months later. And I was like,
oh my God.
I'm like, this is all a joke. Like, how did I get here? You know? And you have to kind of acclimate and find time to realize like, I wouldn't be here if I didn't get myself here. And like, I have good ideas and like, he also wants to, you know, it's funny.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like when I've written with a lot of my heroes and I tell them like, they're my hero. They're like, well, I'm trying to impress you too. And I'm like,
do you really
crazy.
Think so? Do you think Nathan is trying to impress you?
I mean, maybe not Nathan. He's Nathan Chapman, but like,
but maybe he is.
But maybe
he wants to show how great he is.
I love him so much.
And I think that hit writers like that, maybe they feel like they want to show that they still have it.
I would feel that way.
Even if your last hit went number one yesterday, you still would feel
right.
like that, right?
There's still that piece of your brain that's like, will I ever write another?
Write another.
Which is crazy because your best work is always ahead of you, hopefully.
Do you think so? Because I feel like I could point to many artists where that's simply not true.
I think if your best work isn't ahead of you, that's a problem. But it is a stressful. I think every creative has days where they're like, did I lose it? But like, I think it's Elizabeth Gilbert has a quote where she's like, creativity is a river. It is not going away. It is flowing. Sometimes you just can't tap into it as much. And that's okay.
Right. And you're a triplet.
Yeah.
Two brothers
yeah.
and an older brother.
Mm-hmm.
When you drop out of college,
mm-hmm.
were your two other brothers like, what the fuck? She gets to drop out of school.
Oh, can we say fuck? I didn't know if
you could
say
anything you want. And we have to keep working. That seems so unfair to me. But maybe they were supportive and maybe they were cool with it. They weren't going to chase this dream, the same dream that you were chasing.
Yeah. I mean, everyone has different dreams. I think maybe, I don't know. Maybe they were kind of like, damn, I want to do that.
That's what I think.
My parents probably would have been like, cool, because I had the coolest parents in the world.
I believe that. Or they would have said, go out and get a publishing deal, and then you too can drop out.
Yeah.
Okay, so the new record, This Is Your Brain on Love.
This Is Your Brain on Love.
Out November 4th.
Mm-hmm.
How many songs are on this?
Six.
So this is borderline EP.
Yeah.
Or
it is an EP.
It is an EP.
Mm-hmm.
It's not borderline EP. Are these all new songs that aren't out, or
no.
are any out yet?
Yes. Some are out, and then there's some new ones.
How many new ones are being added?
Two.
I was begging to get a copy, an advanced copy of this, and nobody sent me
anything.
Oh my
God, I'll send it to you after this.
Send me the advanced copy. So, okay. And then the single, Over Her Over Here,
mm-hmm.
that's not out yet.
No.
That's on TikTok.
It is on TikTok.
This is a great hook.
Thank you.
Over Her Over Here.
Yeah, you can't get over her over here.
You can't get over her over here.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a real story?
Of course.
When you say it like
me.
When you say it like that, it makes me feel like, oh, of course, of course. But is it, how real is real? There's truths, and then there's truths. How real
wow.
is this
inspiring.
Story?
Inspiring.
I could be a fucking songwriter. Somebody get me in a room. What do I have to do to get into a writer's room?
Let's write a song after this.
No way.
No, you're too busy. I was late.
Early on in moving to Nashville, Ava Sapelza was like, let's write a song sometime. Like, she was like being so friendly. I was like, you don't want to write? And she was like, no, it'd be great. And we wrote a song and it was the worst.
I want to hear it. I'm gonna ask
no
her
we
for
didn't
it.
Even write it. Like, that was oh. the thing. Like, we couldn't even get through it. And then I wrote another song with someone, and it was taking so long to get anywhere.
Oh yeah, that happens.
And I was like, this feels like it's taking a long time. He's like, yeah, this is taking a long time. And I was like,
should we call it?
I think that was, I was like, let's call it. That was the last song I ever wrote.
That's okay.
That's okay.
You're going to write another song. Your best work's ahead of you, Zach.
I thought when I was younger that I really wanted to be a songwriter
mm-hmm.
because I loved songs. So I thought, why would I not love creating songs?
Mm.
But then I realized that I don't like the fact that every day when you go to write a song, you kind of basically fail because nothing happens to most of the songs that you write every single day.
Yep.
So it's so rare that you have feelings of accomplishment with songwriting. Look at me telling you about songwriting. I don't know anything about songwriting.
It's true.
That's why I feel like I can never be a songwriter.
But that's like what makes you want to keep going. I don't know.
The urge to. I think it's weird because I think the real thing where I know I'm not a songwriter is I just don't have this urge to wake up in the morning and write songs.
Well, that's how you know.
That's how you know, right? But what is that urge? It's just so weird to me.
It's indescribable, honestly. I think
I'll never know.
This is what's interesting about it is because every topic to write about has pretty much been written about at this point.
Well, not necessarily.
But, like, a lot of them.
I think the best topics are still ahead.
All right. Okay, fair. But I would say 75% of, like, material. 90. Okay? It's a lot of love songs. It's a lot of, like, whatever. You have to show up every day and find a new way to say something to describe a feeling everyone's felt that no one said yet.
And that's what's fun. Or that's what's...
Yeah, it's like a Rubik's Cube. It's like, yeah. I don't know. You got to figure it out.
So you went in and you wrote a single over here. No, that's the single.
Over her, over here. Yeah.
Which I think is a great title. That is a different way of saying you cannot get over... You can't get some with your ex.
Yeah.
That's a different way of saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And do you come in with that hook? And then, like, who comes in with that phrase, which is pretty unique?
That day we were writing on Zoom, and it was me and Benji Davis and Chris Dubois. And Chris, like, doesn't write for females a lot. He writes a lot of, like...
I love Chris Dubois.
I love Chris.
Oh, my God.
And he was like, I never get to write for girls, so, like, I have this girl hook. And he was like, it's called Over Her, Over Here.
He brought in the hook.
And I was like, that's brilliant. Also, I'm going through that. Let's write about it. So we did.
So he brought in the hook.
It happened to match with my life and be a fantastic hook.
And then do you start, you say I'm going through that, and then do you start telling everyone the specifics?
Yeah.
Of what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
And then who starts, I want to hear the full version of the song.
I'll send it to you.
Send it to me.
Yeah.
This is the perks of hosting a podcast.
Perks.
You get songs early. You get songs early.
Blair's heard it? Yeah.
What?
She came to my show in New York. She extended her flight to come to my show.
I was going to come, but I had COVID.
Oh, ouch.
I actually didn't have COVID, but... can I tell you what actually happened?
Yeah.
What actually happened was it was my sister's wedding that Friday.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good excuse.
Well, your show was on Monday, but my family was completely quarantined that entire week. Because they were worried that one of us was going to get COVID and ruin the wedding.
Oh.
So I literally was like, can I go? I said to my sister, I was like, can I get out this one thing? Lauren Weintraub's playing in New York, one night only.
Oh my God.
And
the
she was
honor.
Like, she was like, fuck no.
No, you
she
didn't,
was like,
you didn't
I don't
ask
even,
that.
I actually said, is there a chance? I said a friend of mine's playing a show in New York.
Shit.
Like really good friend of mine. Wow. Like lots of friends are going to be there. Is there a chance that I could go to that show? And
no. The answer is no.
Everybody said no.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts.
No, I think it's a great single. So what's the next thing that Lauren has to do to keep pushing the career forward? Is it when you talk with your team, is it just like we need to just like rinse, repeat, more music, more social, no more content. We're going to get on a big tour slot. Like, is it just those steady steps? Or do you think that are you waiting for something to happen that you think is really going to push it to the next level, whatever that is? Like, what do you think is the thing that's going to keep moving it forward?
Definitely not waiting. I think being consistent, keep writing great songs, making, you know, videos, whatever. But we made this project because I'd spent 2 years just releasing what worked on the internet. I was like, this song worked. The people like it. Let's put it out. And I felt like I had 500,000 monthly listeners, which is insane. And I was like, it's time to finally make a cohesive project and, like, show these people who I actually am. Not just because it went viral. So we did that. I feel like that was really important for, like, my trajectory and, I don't know, people finding out who I am. So now I'm at a point where I'm going to kind of just keep experimenting and, like, putting more songs on the internet and seeing what happens and making maybe more projects and just always pushing myself. But definitely touring. I want to tour.
We have to tour. Yeah, I haven't seen you live in a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
How great is the show right now?
Amazing. Like, fuck, when I get to play... I love playing solo and full band. Like, to me, they're both just as great. But when I play full band, it is so
fun. Can't believe that's true at all. I have to imagine full band is so much
more
fun. I
mean, it's more fun, but there is something special about the solo moments.
Because you feel like everything you do, like, you're really good at getting reaction out of a crowd solo. Like, you could get acoustic guitar, sing a song, works. And then when that happens, maybe it feels like...
Yeah,
that
it's
was
like,
all me.
Well, I've always said a song isn't a smash unless it's a smash when you play it by yourself.
That's so true, right?
And so, I don't know, I wasn't always able to do that. Like, I used to be awkward as fuck on stage.
Really? Because I saw you play at the Bluebird years ago.
Was I awkward as fuck?
No, you were very confident. I remember being good. Like, I remember you were like very confident. Oh, and you good. Were young. You were probably.
Yeah. I was a freshman in college.
Was that when I met you mm-hmm. that day? Yeah.
But at that point, I'd been street performing for 4 years. So maybe it was like if you had met me 4 years before, you would have been like,
oh, yeah. If I met you in your awkward teenage like puberty phase. Yeah. It would have been so awkward. That would have been such a novelty. Yeah. That makes sense. Here, I want to ask you, too. I always see you post these dancing videos.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're like really dancing. Mm-hmm. And I think this is cool because I don't. I just don't know what you're doing. Are you training for something or is that just like a workout kind of thing? Like, what are you doing? Because I've always wanted to be a cool dancer and I can't dance.
You should come.
I would love to come. This is what I'm saying.
Okay, we're going
to go. What is it?
Okay, so when I was younger, I danced like 12 hours a week. I was crazy. I used to do like dance competitions.
Oh, shit. Really?
Mm-hmm. And okay. So when I got out of theater and transitioned into music, like I kind of lost that part of me because I was just so busy. So when I got my publishing deal and I had all this time on my hands, I was like, I need to like have some hobbies because hobbies are very important. And like I love to read and cook. And when I'm in LA, I love to surf. But
surf?
Yeah. I learned how to surf.
Are you good?
I'm pretty good.
She's humbled too. I love surfing. Yeah. I'm dying to go surfing in LA.
We should go surfing.
Let's go. Okay, but I think dancing seems more realistic.
Okay, so I was like, I'm going to try to get back into dancing. Like, maybe this will be good for my inner child. And it's been so fun. I just go to like a
really?
Drop-in hip-hop class.
What is that? Where do you do that? Around here?
Yeah, it's at Millennium Dance Complex. It's called MDC. And you go, and it's an hour, and they teach you a combination, and you learn it, and then that's that.
One combination for the hour.
Yeah, you like work on like a minute-long dance or whatever.
And do you think if I showed up with like no dancing skills at all, could I learn the combination?
I don't know if you could learn it, but you could try.
That's all I would have to do.
Okay, it's a beginner's class, but like it is not beginner. Like I am struggling, and I was a dancer for 8 years. Like,
and is it a good workout? Like, do you sweat a lot?
Oh yeah, I'm wearing my Whoop, and it's like your heart rate's like.
Oh my god, yeah. I'm dying to do this because I want to be like a cool dancer. Like I want some good moves.
You got. I mean, it honestly helps me on stage too.
I bet it does.
Eventually, I want to be like J-Lo and freaking just.
I think you could easily get. That's what I thought you were training for. Like I thought.
Well, I guess. Like
you,
if you,
you really
look
are.
At it in the long run.
I was like, is she bringing out dancers? Like, is she gonna bring out dancers on the tour?
Like, okay, at CMA Fest would have been a little weird, you know? I gotta wait for the right point in my career.
But easily CMA Awards.
Totally.
That stage.
Stadium vibe.
Stadium vibes, 100%
that's
you could
normal.
Be bringing out dancers.
Yeah.
And then you could, like, be dancing too. I remember, when was it when Taylor Swift was dancing and everybody, like, shat on her and was like, oh, she's the worst dancer? I
really?
Actually thought she was fine. I thought she was a good dancer.
I think she's great.
But like, you could have that energy.
Yeah, I want to, like, do it all.
I don't even think that's a problem. I think you're in. I mean, it's all happening. The new EP, This Is Your Brain on Love, out November 4th.
Yep.
The dancing is incredible. I want to dancing. I want to go dancing. Can we do that?
Yes. Come to my dance class.
How do you do that?
I'll tell you when it is. I'm not going to say it on the podcast.
Don't
maybe everybody's gonna show up, but like I'll tell you what it is.
Don't say it. Unbelievable. What's been unsaid? Have we left anything out? What's been said? The new record comes out.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
This Friday, the record comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Here's actually a good thing that we should ask Lauren, because we ask a lot of guests about DM etiquette.
About
how to slide into DMs.
How to slide into DMs.
Yes.
Really?
First of all, I want to know, do a lot of fans DM you who are like weird? Like, do you get weird fans DMing you?
Of course.
Like creepy guys who are trying to like...
I mean, I hate to frame it as creepy guys, but yeah.
Guys who are shooting their shot in the DM.
Yeah.
Is there anything that anyone could say in a DM if they're a complete stranger that would win you over?
Yes.
Or if they're a complete stranger, is it completely a shot in the dark?
Okay, I don't think so over DM, but I will say the funniest DM I ever got was this guy. And he was like, if I buy you a 12-piece chicken McNugget, will you go out with me?
Why is that funny? That's
hilarious.
Did that work?
Like, that's
I get a sense you almost said yes to that.
But I think it's funny that he thinks that's all it's going to take is a 12-piece
maybe
chicken
he knows,
McNugget.
Maybe what he was thinking was like, I'm not going to try too hard.
Yeah, maybe.
Is there a chance, though? What if it was someone... that's rough. Is there a chance you would have said yes?
I don't think to a stranger in my DMs. Like, I get kind of creeped out. I even get creeped out on, like, dating apps. Like, I don't really use dating apps.
How many mutual friends do you need to see that you have with a stranger before you would maybe entertain them? Because if you had, like, 20 mutual friends, I bet you'd be like, oh, who is this person?
No, even just, like, one mutual friend.
One mutual friend would do it.
That's better than none.
No, that's not true. Let me tell you why. I just matched with someone on Raya recently. Okay. She looked very normal.
Okay.
She looked super normal. Okay. Like, very real. Because normally you can tell when someone's, like, fake or real.
Okay.
And I went to her Instagram, and there was one mutual friend, and she still looked super real. And I went to that mutual friend. I was like, who is this person? And that person was like, you don't want anything to do with her. She's literally a prostitute.
Oh.
Is literally what happened. And if I had gone out with that person because of my one mutual friend, it would have all been horrible.
Okay.
It would have been awful.
You have now proved me wrong.
I think you need two mutual friends.
Okay, let's say two is the magic number.
Two's the magic
Maybe
number.
Maybe even three.
You need three magic... you need three mutual friends.
Yeah.
And then you feel like a cold DM you would maybe consider.
A DM, though. I don't know that I would ever meet somebody from a DM. When I was a kid, like, the internet was just coming out, right?
Yeah.
And my parents all the time were just like, don't talk to strangers on the internet. So now it's, like, ingrained in me. It's like... Like, remember, you used to have to be really careful about your location.
Yeah, we used to freak out about this.
And now everyone
it's like,
knows where you are. At
everyone
all
knows
times.
Where you are all the time.
But I don't know. I've never gone out with somebody from a DM. But I guess everyone on the pod, don't lose hope.
We've had some good answers about DM. Okay, but is there, like, what is the best
thing to say?
Thing to say, yeah.
Just something funny.
That's what Lindsay L said.
Like, be funny.
You have to be funny.
There's this
you're
guy.
You're not going to get anywhere unless you're funny.
I saw this TikTok he made, and he was like, guys, I have the best thing to slide into a girl's DMs with. And so he was like, you should message her. I need you to remember this number, 8. And then she's like, why? And then you delete the message, and you're like, okay, what was the number? Did you remember it? And she's like, 8. And he's like, great. That's the time I'm picking you up tomorrow night. Like, that's funny.
That's so funny. Can I tell you my go-to line? I want to know if you think it's good.
Yeah, okay.
My go-to line is I will send an emoji of a dog.
Okay.
Okay? And then I'll follow it up with, Max, come back here. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. That's Max. Sometimes he runs away. I'm Zach, by the way. Is that not gold?
Have you actually used that?
Yes.
Was it successful?
50% of the time, whoever I'm DMing writes back and says that just gave me the ick, and then doesn't ignore me. 50% of the other time, of course it's the other time, they write back and they say, that's genius, like where do you want to meet? Like, I'll go out with you right now.
I'm going to be honest, I think it needs some work.
You think it needs work? Or do you think that could be molded into something great?
No, I think
it could be molded.
No,
entirely?
No, I don't think you start from scratch. I think it can be molded.
You think it can be molded into something great?
Yeah, like when you started, I was like, this is going somewhere. And then it maybe didn't.
Okay, here's the point. The point is, Lauren Weintraub has a new EP coming out this Friday. This is Your Brain on Love. And the songs that Lauren has out, X Appeal.
Right.
I love X Appeal. There's a great live version of you doing it in a studio.
I love that.
Everyone should check out and go
Thank
listen
you.
To. She's Mine, classic. If you don't know She's Mine, you're missing out. The first song she put out that really blew up on TikTok. And it's a great song. Missing You, 5 a.m. at the That's a great one, too. It's Not Like I'm in Love with You. Oh,
classic.
Shit. Classic. The point is, they're all great.
Oh,
Lauren Weintraub, she's unbelievable. You need to listen to her music. You need to follow her on TikTok. And you need to listen to the new record. And you need to, if you're an attractive actor who wants to be in a music video with Lauren, the next video might...
We've wrapped back around.
We've brought it full circle, everybody. Lauren, we appreciate you coming into the podcast post-write.
Yep.
We could have taken you out of a session where you could have ran a hit song.
I wrote a pretty good song, but I'm not going to jinx it.
Knock on wood. We appreciate you showing up, driving all the way here. And we can't wait to hear the song when it comes out.
Anytime.
The record, two new songs. We're getting two new songs on this record. I can't wait to hear it.
Thanks for having me.
Lauren, we're wrapped.
It's
do we miss
real.
Any? Do we leave anything out? Are you?
That was pretty good.
Do you know anything? Did we leave anything? No. Do we get it?
Yeah, I thought that was great.
We got it. We're done. Wrap it. Print it. Oh, my God.
Wow. The drama.